Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 20 of season 4. This one is called Cupid. Cupid, another little Q pun. It was directed by Cliff Bohl. Teleplay goes to Ira Stephen Bear, and the story credit goes to Ira Stephen Bear and Randy Russell. It aired back on April 22nd, 1991. I have to read the Wikipedia description for this one because I think it's one of the best that I've come across so far. The captain and Vash are reunited when the Enterprise hosts an archaeological symposium, but their disparate personalities soon have them sparring instead of spooning. All right, well, that's what Cupid is. Modi Operandis is here to talk about this one. We're going to go deep right after this.
Is this Tagus 3?
I doubt there are many oak trees on Tagus. No. I think this is supposed to be Earth. Somewhere around about the 12th century. And this is England, or to be more precise, Sherwood Forest, at least Q's recreation of it.
That will explain these costumes.
Quite right, number one. Or should I say, John Little.
Well, if he's Little John, that makes you...
I know. Robin Hood.
Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.
On the contrary, Lieutenant Worf. Your clothing identifies you with the character of Will Scarlet, just as Geordi's mandolin identifies him as Alan Adale.
And you, Mr. Data, bear a striking resemblance to Friar Tuck.
I will not play the fool for Q's amusement!
So, Modi, would you consider yourself to be a big fan of the Robin Hood story in general, outside of this episode?
No, I would not.
I don't think I would either. Do you like Men in Tights, the Mel Brooks take on Robin Hood?
That was pretty funny. Yeah, I do like that one.
I watched it recently. I don't know if it holds up quite as well. It's not one of Mel Brooks's best, but it's
no, definitely not.
Yeah, it's okay in some parts. Some of it seems pretty either juvenile or dated. I can't tell which.
Yeah.
Some of the jokes are good, but anyway, this is Star Trek: The Next Generation's take on the tale of Robin Hood, told through the eyes of Q. did you Captain's Holiday with me, right?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I get Vash both times. This is perfect for me.
I didn't plan this, so it was a nice coincidence that you come back for the return of Vash, who is spelt Vash, but you pronounce it Vash.
Vash, yeah. Pronounces it differently.
Q comes back. We liked Captain's Holiday, I think. Like we enjoyed it. We didn't think it was a great episode.
Well, it was kind of a noir story, is why I liked it.
Right. Yep.
It treated as that and not as anything else. I think it was good.
Sort of a noir mixed with Indiana Jones kind of
exactly,
like adventure.
Exactly, yeah. Indiana Jones noir, yeah.
And this one keeps the same kind of tone. This is sort of a comedy episode, or it is a comedy episode. They're trying to be. It's trying to be funny.
Yeah, they're trying to be really funny here.
Some of it really works. A lot of it feels odd. And my note would be that Ira Stephen Bear wrote both of these episodes, and he seems interested in the stuff that the rest of the show doesn't want to talk about, even though it exists. And he's also interested in sort of being tongue-in-cheek about the whole series.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the few writers who seems to stick with the... We learned in the first season that Beverly and Picard have, like, a thing, you know? And he brings it back in this episode in a way that is so abrupt that it feels sort of odd that it gets thrown at us again.
Yeah, it's kind of implied too. It's like she just shows up at his room for dinner,
yes,
or something.
Yeah, breakfast.
And
yeah.
It's like she's looking nice or whatever. And like, what exactly was he? Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird that there was like something implied there.
Yeah, he calls up the Q debt, which I didn't even remember that Q had a debt. Which it makes sense when he reminds you that you do, but. You wouldn't think Q would owe him anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think Q's the kind of person that would actually like even care about that personally.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I owe you. Like, no, Picard like would just ask him to go away forever and not come back. That's your debt repaid.
Yep.
But
yep. And earlier in the last episode, I posed the question about characters you get rid of. You mentioned Q pretty early.
Yes.
So
I would get rid of him.
What'd you think of this episode as a Q episode in the pantheon of Q episodes?
I didn't think in that context. As a Q episode, it's probably one of the better ones, actually.
Yep. Yep.
Aside from, I think the first one, despite Q's over the topness in his very first episode, like, I think that. I don't like this episode at all. Really? I hate this episode.
This episode makes me laugh, which I think is all it's trying to do. As a Q episode, it's right in the middle for me, which is kind of weird. It's the turning point for Q for me is when they realize that the Q character works better as a moral barometer. They try to do that at the end here, and it doesn't work at all, because I don't think there's any sort of moral lesson that we've learned. The Q character is claiming that's what's going on, so I appreciate him trying to do that,
yeah.
but it doesn't really work, and he's basically back to just being a trickster figure in this one.
Pretty much. I guess, okay, so that was the thing I was struggling with, is that like Q sets up this Robin Hood thing to repay the debt to Picard. Or because he thinks he's going to repay the debt to Picard. Actually, it's more to prove the point that the woman will be his undoing, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the actual episode actually starts, is where he's like, this woman's going to be the death of you, and this woman's going to be your destruction. Like, and then it's to show him, I guess the point of it was to show him that he's willing to risk his men for a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But Picard points out within the episode that it doesn't matter any instant I would try to save from you. And so he, in that regard, it's not personal. He does make it personal by trying to go it alone to save, you know, Marion / Vosh. But in the end, like, he doesn't actually even ask his crew to come along. So he didn't prove Q right.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Like, so Q was proved wrong. But at the end, Q believes he's right. Like, I don't know.
His plan
does not work.
I agree with that. It feels like there's a lot of characters saying things in this episode that doesn't really tie in with the total narrative going on. Like, they're trying to justify it, but it doesn't make sense in that regard. Like, the whole thing of Picard doing this for love doesn't really come across. There's nothing specifically about this other than he puts them in a situation where the characters love each other, Marion and Robin Hood. But that doesn't... The characters...
And they just play the parts.
The characters themselves don't really fit these characterizations, so it doesn't work in that regard. And it doesn't work with Q's sort of thing at the end. I've shown you what love is all about. It's like, well, you didn't really do that either.
Didn't really.
But outside of that, I don't mind this episode. I don't think it's great. I don't think this is like a wow, knock 'em dead episode of Star Trek. I think it's a kind of tone that I could only really stand one episode a season of.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a little silly, a little bit. It's difficult to put into context where you have episodes like where they square off against the Borg, and then you have episodes like this where they're just like goofing around constantly. And I understand doing it for the actor's sake, and I don't mind it. It's just you can't do this too much.
This is approaching like the ramp to jump the shark, I think, basically.
Yes.
Episode. Like this may be midair over the shark, I don't even know.
I feel it's early.
Do the backflip.
It's early in the series run for this kind of episode.
I know, yeah.
I felt like Captain's Holiday fit better in the spirit of Star Trek, kind of. It's a similar tone, but I felt there like, oh, the captain goes on vacation and has like a little...
It still works there, yeah.
Because
there's still stakes there.
Right.
But here it's like... there's character development. Like, you learn something about Picard and how he reacts to women and how he reacts to vacation and how, like, there's character development going on there. Here, it's like he screwed up, didn't tell him about her because he's a very private man.
Yes.
And she screwed up because she's not actually there to see him. She's there to, you know, bust into Targus 3 or Tagus 3. And, like, she lied to him, basically. So then they don't trust each other anymore. So, like, that, the whole, everything up until when Q shows up is really interesting to me, actually.
It is.
Because it's like, it's this whole thing of, like, you know, can you trust a liar kind of thing.
Yep.
And, they went in a different direction with this episode after that point. I don't know what the conflict exactly would be, but I didn't write this episode. So they decided that, oh, let's do Robin Hood because that's popular, because this is actually right before Prince of Thieves came out.
Oh, is it really? Yeah.
Yes. This is like the same year, same like near the time when Prince of the Thieves was coming out.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I was reading that they were thinking about doing Camelot instead of Robin Hood, but then they're like, oh well, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is coming out, so let's capitalize on that.
Oh, product. Really?
I almost
confuse Camelot and Robin Hood. The stories are very similar, sort of. It's all very medieval, sort of knighthood garbage stuff that I'm not particularly interested. But I agree. I like the intro. One thing I thought was not the intro, but like the pre Robin Hood stuff. It was interesting to me how apparently super sexual the Enterprise is whenever an attractive lady comes aboard.
Oh my God. Riker is perks right up.
Riker was absurd. I thought it was funny that that Picard has Riker's game down so well that he can tell
that
her
was
the
a good
lines.
Line too. I like that part.
Even every male character on the show is giving Vash eyes. He's giving her like the F me eyes.
Even Worf.
Even Worf says nice legs for a human.
For a human.
He has two great lines. Oh. Nice legs for a human and man, I am not a merry man.
That one made me laugh, actually. And it's, but it's like, that's why they're playing this whole thing for laughs. Like, they put him in that red suit just so they could do that line. And it works. They nailed it. But it's so stupid. But at the same time,
you have to go real deep into Robin Hood. I know Robin Hood, Friar Tuck, and Little John. I don't think I'd ever heard of Will Scarlet and whoever
Will
Geordi.
Will Scarlet is in Men in Tights and in Prince of Thieves.
Who plays him in? Oh, is he? Oh, he's Will, right? He's like the little
Will.
Of, okay,
he's the younger guy. He's the young, dashing kind of guy.
Yes, yeah.
like hot headed though.
I was surprised that
Alan Adale I only know from the animated Disney Robin Hood.
Oh, really? Is that that's the Geordi character?
That's Geordi with the loot. Yeah, Alan Adale is from that. I thought, but I don't know if he actually has a real story counterpart or not.
Yeah. There's funny moments. I mean, I like the I am not a merry man. I like Worf smashing the mandolin or lute.
It's played for laughs. Like, Worf gets the only comedic parts here. And it's like Animal House, basically, is what they're riffing on, I think.
Yep.
And he hands it back to him saying sorry.
I was a little disappointed that Worf was so upset with being in the fantasy, you know, the I am not a merry man type stuff. I was surprised that they didn't do a thing where he slowly gets to really love this world.
He likes it immediately.
Yeah,
he dives into action against Sir Guy of Gisborne.
Whenever Sir Guy just appears, Worf just charges at him with both hands over his head, wielding his sword.
He's got a sword, and then gets his ass kicked. As usual for Worf. Like, he dashes into battle that proves that he's not any kind of warrior.
And Worf was not at the end for some reason.
Huh.
He just was not in that final fight, I guess because he was wounded. But I was surprised they didn't play the Worf really enjoying this this kind of thing.
They're pretty, like, there was some behind-the-scenes stuff. I read a little bit on the wiki about this. Like, they didn't use Worf at the end there, and they didn't explain on the wiki. But what you said about him being injured makes sense. But they also didn't let the women fight in the end scene.
Oh, they did?
The women just drop like pots on people's heads and stuff. There's one with Deanna, there's one with Beverly.
Why didn't they show that?
They didn't let them fight because they thought that it would break the timeline to have women fighting in the Middle Ages.
Oh, that's stupid.
And that's the explanation from the writer. And I'm like, you're a crazy person. Like, you thought of that? Like, why would you think that? Like, you're not nuts. That's nuts.
It's a pure character strengthening moment to just have, not in character strength, just like why bring them back at all if you're not going to have them?
They were also the only people that had like sword fighting training too, both the actresses.
Oh really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like they pick up sword fighting very easily. Picard, I guess, makes sense because there was the We'll Always Have Paris episode where he's shown to be a fencer, so I can kind of accept him being a sword fighter. Geordi, I don't really buy being a master swordsman.
No.
And it's also kind of funny that they kill a bunch of people in this episode.
They really murder people. Like, I was just thinking, like, what if this isn't like some type of Q simulation? And Q never like has really demonstrated that he can do simulations before.
Right.
But yeah. he did mention he could do time travel. So what if they actually just brought him back in time to the 12th century and they're rewriting history at this point?
Just brutally murdering people. There was like blood on the swords and stuff. It was like, wow.
That's why no one's ever heard of Guy of Gisborne, because the crew murdered him, actually.
I'd buy
and
that.
And then that's what leads to Robin Hood being hunted in the timeline prime, is because he's wanted for the death of Guy of Gisborne.
Yep.
So this is like the impetus for all of history then, basically.
Huh. Interesting. I never really thought about that. It's true. It's a funny little episode. You mentioned you didn't really like it at all.
No.
So before we get into ratings, just is there any way that you would like salvage this? So what do you really dislike about the episode? You don't
like
Q.
I said, everything before Q shows up and is starting to be interesting to me. I don't know, again, I don't know where the plot can go from that, but I liked the idea of him wanting to be private about his personal life and her not being honest with him, and then it becomes like a who can you trust kind of thing. But like, then it goes into this, the Robin Hood stuff is just, I don't know, like, again, now that they know that they wanted to shoehorn some Robin Hood stuff into here, and it just goes on rails after that. Like, there's no choices being made. Picard says, I'll do it because it's personal, I'm going alone.
Yep.
And then he doesn't learn his lesson about, you know, sharing his personal life with his crew and letting his crew take the risk of saving someone he cares about.
Yeah, that's true.
Because why they just not show up. And even Vash tries to send a message to them. Like, so, I don't know. Like, and Q stops her. So it's like, I don't know. Where did Q let that message go through at the end there, you think? Also, like, because he stops her from sending a message to Riker, and then like, how do they know to show up, basically?
Right,
they make their own choice, basically, to save him.
Yeah, they do. I think you're single-handedly destroying what I was going to rate this episode, which is problematic. it's kind of a weird episode. I don't disagree with anything you said just now. Like, I think the narrative really doesn't make much sense. I wonder how much that's the point, but the other thing that I wonder about that is, I haven't watched this episode in a long time. I don't think this is a rewatchable episode. I had to watch it twice. Yeah, I got a kick out of it just for the sort of novelty of it, but I imagine the novelty would wear out really fast on a rewatch of it. So I think that's kind of problematic. Ooh, tough.
The ending too, Vash leaves with Q.
Yep.
That ending is just also doesn't pay off in any kind of way.
No.
Like basically Picard was right not to trust her, basically, is what how it ends up being. Because she's just gonna run off with Q to go steal whatever they want to now. Obviously you don't want to pass, she makes the point that she doesn't want to pass the opportunity or whatever to, like, you know, This guy's immortal and ultra powerful. They can go anywhere, do anything.
Yep.
Why would she pass it up? But then it's like, was she really there for Picard at all? Like,
right.
She was there because it was convenient. So like, maybe he thought he could help her. She's very duplicitous.
Right.
The whole way through, she's duplicitous to everyone, I think.
Yeah. You never really get a sense that she actually likes Picard. Picard seems pretty smitten with her.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Also,
and that's why Q, I think, is the whole thing. It's like, I think Q might see that.
Yes, yeah.
That's why he's like, she's going to be your end.
And it's also a weird that he's so smitten after the events of Captain's Holiday, where she clearly double times him. And
yeah.
at least at the end of Captain's Holiday, Picard is like in on it. Like he realizes what's going on and sort of stops.
Oh
her.
Yeah, and he double crosses her.
Right. Yeah. It's weird that he's still so smitten, and he doesn't have a moment here. I think they should have paid it off like they did in Captain's Holiday, where he kind of somehow double-crosses her a little bit at the end.
There's none of that going on here.
No, there's
none
of that.
Again, it's like there's not a lot of choices being made here. Like, same problem with the last episode. Again, it also feels like fan fiction here, too.
Yeah.
They just wanted to write a Robin Hood story.
We are late in season four. This is
near the end.
This is generally where the bad ideas start to get some play.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because they've had to write 26 hours of television, and eventually you're going to start running out of interesting things to talk about.
They need to save the good stuff for episode 26, 25, 24. So here's episode 20. Let's just do whatever.
Right, exactly.
You know, we need another episode. We got to put something up here today.
You need to end strong, which this season kind of ends strong. We'll get to that when we get to it, but I agree. This is a Doldrums episode, because before Nth Degree, we had, what the hell was it? We had two other weak episodes before these two.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's the one, I think it's the one with the being that they kill, and then it comes back to life.
Galaxy's Child, yeah.
Galaxy's Child, I think it was before this, yeah.
And we had Night Terrors, which is fine, and Identity Crisis. Like, this is the period of the season that we're into, where we have Identity Crisis and Cupid basically right next to each other. Interesting. Well, I think I'm done talking about this one. Oh, I wanted to get one thing. In the pantheon of titles, this is by far the best and most appropriate Q title.
Yes, actually, this one actually is, like, maybe they wrote the episode with the title in mind, possibly. Yeah,
they might have,
like, okay, we have this title, Cupid, now we have to figure out how to write an episode around that.
Right, how I got it, Robin Hood. People like, fall in love, basically.
Yeah,
as opposed, Hiding Q is terrible.
Deja Q
is terrible. Mostly because the titles have nothing to do with what goes on in the episode.
They figured it out this time. They came up with the title first and then worked backwards to figure out the episode.
Cupid. Yeah, so I give them credit in that regard. All right, so let's wrap this up. I'm going to play an audio clip. We're going to come back. We're going to give our final ratings for Cupid.
We're going to have fun. I'm going to take her places no human has ever seen.
Now, who can resist an offer like that?
As payment in full of your debt to me, you will guarantee her safety.
She will not be harmed, Jean-Luc. I promise you that. Well, are you going to kiss her goodbye? All right.
All right, Cupid. So on our scale of 1 to 5, 3 being an average episode, 5 being a fantastic all-time episode, 1 being a garbage episode that you could do without. Where are you going to rank this one?
I will say to anybody looking to watch TNG is to go to YouTube, Google the clip of Worf saying, "I am not a married man," and then skip this episode altogether. Because I'm going to give it a 1.
Interesting, a 1. Do you think the other one did you even give The Loss a 1? Is this better or worse than The Loss?
I don't even think I gave The Loss a 1. I think I gave The Loss a 2.
Yeah, I think you might have.
And I just as far as like, just even just respect for the show.
Yeah,
I think that this episode needs to have a 1.
I could see a huge variety of justification for the ranking of this episode, and I think a lot of them would make sense to me, even if they ended up with a totally different number.
You have changed your mind here.
I think you have. I went in much higher than a 1.
What was your original score?
My original was a weak 3.
Okay.
You kind of changed me to a 2, but I can also see the justification where the 1 here, this kind of fits my definition of what a 1 is.
Yeah.
This is a totally throwaway episode that has narrative problems in it, which would knock it down to a 2, and the total throwawayness and badness. It's really just there were like 3 jokes in here that keep me from saying,
Google those jokes, and then you're done watching the episode.
You know what? I'm going to give this one a 1 as well.
Yay!
Yeah, I think you've convinced me. I don't know if it, in the scheme of things, if it's the worst episode of the season.
It's not, that's the thing. It's not the worst episode. It's a, like you said, a garbage episode.
Yeah, it's just garbage. All right, I'm going to give it a 1. I have not given a 1 to the season yet, although I do tend to go back and sort of rethink. With the benefit of hindsight, my ratings tend to change slightly on a couple.
I don't think it'll change on this one. Even going forward, I don't think it'll change.
No, and I always used to not look forward to watching this one. So I don't know what I was talking about.
Stuck at this one. I was rewatching the series. Every time we do one of these episodes, I start picking up the series back up right where we left off there.
Yeah.
And
this one derailed.
We got this episode, we're like, let's just stop watching Star Trek now. Like, we're not going to go through this episode again.
You convinced me. I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5. We both give it a 1 out of 5. It's not a very good episode. Do what Modi says and look on YouTube for maybe the best of Cupid, and you'll see worse. I'm not a merry man. And there's maybe 1 or 2. When Q changes into his short explorer shorts, I think that's kind of funny. I don't know if that's intentionally funny, but it's funny to me.
Oh, and then Worf smashes the loot.
Yes, and Worf smashing the loot. Those are the 3 things. So Google those. Yep. You'll be fine.
Yep.
If you guys enjoyed the content and you're on YouTube, a like and a comment is appreciated. If you're on iTunes, rating and review helps get the show out there. Modi, thank you very much for coming on and talking about
this
one.
Thank you, sir.
It's been fun. We'll probably have you on for another episode or two before the end of the season. We're close to it. But we're wrapping up anyway. And thank you very much for all your help with the series so far.
All right.
And guys, thanks very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back in a couple days with the episode that's after this, which is The Drumhead. We have a couple strong episodes coming up, if I'm remembering correctly. We'll be back with The Drumhead. Thank you guys for listening. See you later.